Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
Today, I would like to share out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, beginning of verse 25. And this is a passage, a familiar passage to most of us, where Jesus has a conversation, is questioned by an attorney who is a member of the religious ruling elite. On one occasion, an expert in the law stepped up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" The expert in the law answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But the expert wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus told him the familiar story of the Good Samaritan. A quote I wanted to leave with you, too, from Arthur Ashe, great tennis player, but even a greater man. And he said this at one point in his life, "True heroism is very undramatic. It is not the urge to surpass all others at whatever cost, but the urge to serve others at whatever cost." During the past few days, the nation and the world has mourned the passing and remembered the life of former First Lady Barbara Bush, married for 73 years to our 41st President George H.W. Bush. I heard news last night that President Bush had been placed in intensive care, and I know our thoughts and prayers are all with him for recovery. Speaking at Mrs. Bush's memorial service this past Saturday, presidential historian and longtime family friend John Meacham referred to Barbara Bush as the First Lady of the Greatest Generation. Meacham went on to say that she rose out of and lived through a generation which experienced difficult times and which understood and embraced the values of duty, honor, and country. That she was a point of light in a world of darkness because of the kindness and compassion she showed when she embraced the cause of HIV-positive and AIDS patients in the late 1980s and continued that cause, and then demonstrated time and again her dedication to the issue and focused attention on not just children's literacy, but of family literacy, raising over $100 million through the Bush Family Foundation for that cause alone. Never a woman seeking the limelight or known as a lightning rod in any situation. On one occasion, she ended up being both. When invited to give a commencement speech at Wellesley College in 1990, and during her initial first year as First Lady of the United States, one-third of the graduating class, probably 150 students, protested her invitation by sending a letter to the president of the university protesting her invitation as a commencement speaker for that class. But the invitation stood, and in calm and measured words, carried for the first time ever live by all the major networks because of the commotion that was around her invitation, she, with reason and respect, transcended a mixture of issues of that day, troubling our nation, involving feminist tensions, Cold War politics, and other things. She ended her remarks to the students that day with this: "At the end of your life, you will never regret not having passed one more test, winning one more verdict, or not closing one more deal. You will regret time not spent with a husband or a wife, a child, a friend, or a parent." Barbara Bush was a servant of humanity who will be sorely missed. And for many of us on the call this morning, and many around the baseball and sports world, we remembered the other day the loss and reflected on the life of another such servant of humanity in the life of Kelly McGregor, past president of the Colorado Rockies Baseball Club. Kelly left us 8 years ago at the young age of 48, yet his imprint and impact can still be seen and felt in the lives of so many. One of his coworkers once mentioned about Kelly that he woke up each morning wondering who he could help that day in their life. He was all about building relationships, about serving and helping people wherever he found them. Like the young lady who had a flat tire on her older Volkswagen bus circa 1960s, and you remember some of those Volkswagen buses of the day painted all sorts of colors and with all sorts of slogans on it, and that's what it was. And Kelly and the Rockies team owner, on their way to a very important business meeting, stopped to help that lady by changing her tire, and it was in the pouring rain, and then they went on to their meeting, now late and drenched to the bone, while that lady drove safely home. and so many other times of relating to and serving people everywhere that are too numerous to mention. The beginning of spring training, to remind the players, coaches, and staff of the important things in life, and this was a few years before Kelly died. Kelly said, "Now you come in here and prepare to be the best baseball player in the world tomorrow, perhaps to win it all and hold the trophy high at the end of the year, and you have no relationships." And then he asked, "What do you have?" And then he answered, "You have nothing." His focus and Barbara Bush's focus was on others. His purpose and Barbara Bush's purpose was service to others. On April 3rd, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. delivered what would turn out to be his last speech, familiarly known by the name, "I Have Been to the Mountaintop." Dr. King was in Memphis, Tennessee, to address what was going on with the Memphis sanitation strike. The next day, April 4th, 1968, he would be assassinated. As he was speaking that night, he continued to call for an end to the injustices experienced by the black race in general, and in particular, on behalf of 1,300 sanitation workers who were on strike against the city of Memphis, seeking better pay and better working conditions. And as always, Dr. King called folks out to support their brothers and sisters, whether directly affected by an injustice or not. But he always called them to do so nonviolently and peaceably. At one point, as he was nearing the end of his remarks, he paraphrased the story of the Good Samaritan, which followed the passage from the Gospel of Luke that we read a moment ago, where a Jewish man had been beaten, robbed, and left for dead on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And then a Jewish priest, and then a Levite, had come upon him but passed him by, while a hated Samaritan man later found him, took him, cared for him until he was well. Dr. King engaged in his own speculation with the audience as to why the Jewish priest or the Jewish Levite might have passed by the Jewish man in need. It had been suggested that the priest and his assistant, the Levite, were just too busy or self-consumed with their own stuff, their own agenda, perhaps even late for another appointment or a business meeting. Those all may have been true, and it certainly happens with us as excuses that we use to keep us from helping others. But also the truth was that the journey they were on was on a very dangerous stretch of road across a hazardous, winding, and deep stretch, which started out about 1,200 feet above sea level when you set out from Jerusalem, and then approximately 20 minutes later, when you arrived in Jericho, you were at 2,200 feet below sea level. It was a stretch of road which during those days was called the Bloody Pass. Understandably, they may have feared for their own safety. They may have thought the thieves who beat up the Jewish man and left him for dead on the side of the road were still around, or that the man was faking his injuries to get them to stop so he could rob them. Whatever it was, Reverend King pointed out to those gathered that night in Memphis, neither the priest nor the Levite stopped to help the man in need. Only the Samaritan man, a man of a different race, not a friend, who was despised and hated by the Jews, would stop. And Dr. King concluded with these thoughts as to why the three who came upon the wounded man acted the way they did. He suggested that maybe the first question that the priest asked and the first question that the Levite asked was, "Well, if I stop to help this man on this dangerous road, what will happen to me?" And they both passed him by and didn't help. But then the Good Samaritan came along, and he reversed the question, and he thought to himself, "Let's see, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him?" And he stopped, and he helped him. For that Samaritan man, it was not about himself, but all about others. It was as Arthur Ashe said, that true heroism is very undramatic. It's not the urge to surpass all others at whatever cost, but the urge to serve others at whatever the cost. That's why we remember him, the Good Samaritan, and that story so well. For Barbara Bush and Kelly McGregor, it was never about themselves, but always about others, no matter the cost. It was always about a bigger cause than themselves. It was always about helping others and lifting others in their lives, building lives and relationships, starting each day committed to making a difference in at least one life that day, and then doing it again and again and again, answering God's call in their lives to serve their neighbor, wherever they are and whomever they are. That was the life they lived and the culture they created around them. For Barbara Bush, it's the way she lived her life. It's the way the Bush family has lived its collective life. For Kelly McGregor, it was the way he lived his life. And it's the way the Rockies organization then and today lives its collective life, from the top and throughout. They knew they were given one time around to live a life that made a difference in the world. One time around to leave a legacy of changed lives, or not, day after day. Kelly McGregor and Barbara Bush are gone from among us now, and our lives are less because they're gone. But our lives and the lives of countless others are more, so much more, because they were here. And they now cheer us on from among the great cloud of witnesses above. What will we do with our lives? What will be the legacy, an example we live and we leave? Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for my friends. I thank you for their life. I thank you for this reminder this morning from a very familiar story that Christ told of a person who stopped to help, who saw a need and met it. Help us to be that person. Help us to be as you want us to be, to touch the world around us, to make a difference in the world, to lift lives around us so that we can make a difference with you and through you and for you. Thanks for loving us. In your Son's precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.